happy Father's Day to everyone here. If you had a good dad to raise you and teach you and bring you up right, you should be thankful for that. And if you didn't have a good dad and someone to look up to, someone to raise you, you shouldn't dwell on that, because there's somebody right here that can guide you and teach you. And there's one thing I hate worse when I hear somebody say, "I'm this way because of my upbringing. I'm this way because my mama or my daddy didn't do this or didn't do that." You know what? You can be what you want to be, and you can reach inside, and you can find guidance from the Holy Spirit, and you can get through all that. So put down that crutch. Step away from that crutch. Step up and live the rest of your life. Don't dwell on that junk. All right. Oh, and I know I'm a good dad because I got a Starbucks gift card this morning. Nothing says love like caffeine. Good, strong caffeine, Brother Ken. All right, so the last couple weeks I've been... You guys know that TV show? It's like a game show. It's called Wipeout. Something girls and I like to watch together. It's a where you try to run this obstacle course, and they've got these sweepers and these things that come out and hit you. That's kind of been the last couple of weeks of my life. It seems like every time I take three steps, I just get whacked, knocked off into the mud or off into the water, and I have to scrounge my way back up and keep running again. You know, I was supposed to teach a few weeks ago, and I got called into work because of one of those punches, and there's about two more since then. And I'm sitting out there on the jet, and we just had another incident, and these things happen. I know you frequent flyers don't want to hear that, but these sorts of little things happen out there. And I'm sitting there, and one of the employees walks up to me, and she says, "Well, if this is wrong, you know, these things are wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong." I'm sitting here dealing with an issue, and I got somebody dumping, you know. While he's down, let's pile rocks on top of him. So I'm just sitting there, and I'm trying to smile and, you know, trying to carry the burden. And I'm thinking, I don't ever want to be one of those people that pile on and pile on and pile on and pile on and dump. Because sometimes we look at each other and we think we're invincible, or everybody out there needs a little pickup every now and then. You know, I've described this to you guys before, but there's a law in physics, thermal physics, that talks about being endothermic and exothermic. Endothermic draws energy from other people, from other things. It sucks up energy from its surroundings. Exothermic gives energy to its surroundings. May we always be giving energy to our surroundings and not sucking the life out of people. All right. Okay, so sometimes we have weeks that make us feel like we're on the Wipeout show, and sometimes we get to be a hero. I had an incident a couple of weeks ago where I was coming home from work, and, you know, I got a pretty long drive, and I take different routes just to break up the monotony. And I was coming down some of the back roads, and I had my brain was tied up, and I missed a turn. So I took a road that I don't usually take. And came over a hill, and there was this young boy doing this right here, you know, stopping me. So as I got over the hill, I could see why he was stopping me, and I stopped. And his dad, I assume it was his dad, had his pickup truck backed out into the road, two planks up on the tailgate, and he's making his circle on the lawnmower, about to run up those planks. And I looked at it, and I said, "This is not good. This is not going to turn out well." But they flagged me on through, and I went on, and I went up the road, and as I crested the hill, I was about to pull out on the main highway, I couldn't see him out of my rearview mirror, but I thought, I better keep an eye back there. As soon as I came up on the road, and I was already out on the road, I could see it did not go well. The lawnmower's laying on its side, and he's flat out under it. So I go down the road, and this is how long it took me to find a place to turn around and come back and pull up, and by then his wife's out there and his son's out there, and he's laying under the lawnmower, trapped. And I said, "You need some help." You know, we all say stupid things every now and then. I didn't know. I didn't know if he might want to just figure it out on his own or whatever. But so I picked the lawnmower up off of him, and you know, they the little boy was, you know, I don't know, 9 or 10. He wasn't strong enough, and the wife, I guess, didn't have enough adrenaline or didn't care enough. But I got it off of him, and I thought, and I didn't say anything because I didn't want to embarrass him, so I just hit on back to my car and left, and I thought, well, you know, I got a chance to be a hero today. I'm so used to being a zero. I was a nameless hero. They didn't know me, and I didn't know them. But when you set up your ramps on a, he said, this is what he said to you, Brother Ken. He said, it was all fine and well until that plank flipped over. And I said, you know, it's usually pretty good right up until then. So even with our best laid plans, sometimes it doesn't work out. So anyway, I got to go home that day feeling like a hero. All right, Daniel 6, verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Verse 2, and over these three princes, presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. The king in this case picked one man that he trusted to put under him, to put over all the other presidents, that he would have no damage. The king was looking for someone that he could trust, someone that he could have in a position that he would have no damage. So the king had a situation here where he had Daniel under him and the other princes under him, the other three presidents. I keep calling them princes, my brain is stuck. He had a very flat org chart. You run a very flat org chart when you want to do something, when you want to be close to the people, when you want to be able to reach out and just after one or two layers you want to get to the people. If you want to separate yourself from the people, you build layers under you. And then you don't ever have to talk to anybody. The king, Darius, wanted no damage. In other words, he wanted no financial loss. In verse 3 it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set over him the whole realm. So Daniel at this time was approximately 90 years old, and he had gained favor. He had gained favor with God, and he had an excellent spirit in him. That means that something was different about Daniel. Something was unique about Daniel. And you can't be different if you're like everyone else. You can't be different if you're like everyone else. One of my little girls was telling me about on the playground, there's a little boy that he comes up to the girls when they're playing and wants to be part. And you know what he wants to be part of. He wants to be close to the little girls. But she said the other little girls make fun of him and walk off. She says, well, I don't make fun of him. I just kind of stand there and find somebody else to play with. She said, but this one makes fun and that one makes fun and the other one just walks with them. She doesn't make fun. She just walks with them. And she, so, you know, what we tend to do is we tend to group up like our peers, don't we? We tend to participate in the things going on around us, and we forget the opportunity to be different, don't we? But if you don't participate, you know that sometimes if there's an off-color joke told and you just don't react, you've just screamed real loud what you stand for. You just don't react. You don't have to bring out the Bible and start reading verses at people, and you don't have to say, shame, shame, shame. I remember when I was out in the world, I was skiing one day, and I was out in the water, and one of the guys in the boat, it was his boat, he had come to drag us around the lake, and they had told me a story about him before he came out there. They told me that the only time he ever gets on the lake is between church, between Sunday morning church and Sunday night church, and he only takes a few hours, he does it every Sunday, and you know we were going to hook up with him and go ski with him. Well, I said something because I wasn't in church at the time and I wasn't living right at the time. I said something that was off color and everybody on the boat laughed at him. And God quenched, he just churned in my stomach. He just hurt my spirit at that point. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't about 3 weeks I was back in church. It was a trigger in my life that said, you don't have to be that way. You don't have to be that way. Sometimes you can just be a little different. And Daniel stood because his reactions were principled. He stood out because his reactions were principled in God's Word. So, Daniel was a very consistent person. God wants us to be a consistent people, not a chameleon, not changing based on the environment that we're in. He wants us to be a consistent people. Verse 4, it says, "Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither any error or fault found in him." You know, our enemies are looking to find fault in us. What was happening right here is Daniel was put in top. He was put on top of the other presidents and other princes. And he was preferred. And he was preferred because God gave him favor. And when you're preferred or when you're chosen for something, somebody, somewhere is going to be jealous. When people are jealous of you, you'd better be cautious. Because the emotion of jealousy is the most dangerous emotion out there. It makes people do things they never intended to do. Jealousy put Joseph in the pit by his brothers. Jealousy, we'll find out later, put Daniel in the lion's den. People will step away from you and leave you in harm's way if they're jealous of you. Man will step away from you when things get tough. You ought to see the way people are close to me when my numbers are looking good at work. Everybody participated. Everybody contributed. Everybody was part of the team. Everybody had the idea. Everybody was out there with us. But when the numbers go bad, everybody steps back 3 steps and looks to see how you're going to handle it. And nobody had anything to do with it. Matter of fact, they told me. They told me that I shouldn't have done that and shouldn't have done this or shouldn't have done that. They've been knowing it all along. That's the way it works out there. And jealousy will tear you down. Jealousy's ugly. But you know what? You don't have to be jealous. Because you just need to find the spot that God wants you in. And if somebody else has got a higher spot, that's okay because that's not your spot. As Christians, we're to seek our place, whether it be high, low, medium, or in between. Our best spot is not the highest spot. Our best spot is the spot that God wants us in. That's the only place we can prosper. It's the only place we can do well. It's the only place we can get the fullness of God. Just like Elijah at the branch of Cherith. That was the only place the raven was going to bring food. That was the only place he was going to be able to get water. He had to be in his spot at his time on God's terms. And that's where we have to be. In verse 5 it says, "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find against him concerning the law of God." This tells me that Daniel was flexible. He was workable in all matters except for one. He would not bend when it came to God. So they were looking, what can we accuse him of? Well, we can't accuse him of lying because he doesn't lie. We can't accuse him of stealing because he doesn't steal. We can't accuse him of gossip. He doesn't do that. We can't accuse him of running people down. He doesn't do that. He's up to work on time. He's there late. What can we accuse him of? He's always in his spot. He's always doing right. Well, I know. There's one thing he won't bend on. He's going to follow his God. So it says in verse 6, "Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever." I always start out by building you up. They built him up. "Live forever, King Darius. We'll see if we can manipulate you." You know there's trouble when people start to assemble and they start to plot. Can you believe that none of these guys spoke up on Daniel's behalf? Now, Daniel was a good man. He was a righteous man. And yet, at this point in time, he was standing alone. And maybe he didn't even know they were plotting against him. But that jealousy and that peer pressure will cause everybody else to just step away. And nobody stood up and said, "Why would y'all want to do this to Daniel? Why would y'all want to... King Darius, you know Daniel. Why would you want to do this?" "And all the presidents of the kingdom, and the governors, and the princes, and the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of God or any man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." So, this was all against Daniel. even though they didn't say it to the king, and it was all against God. They made King Darius believe it was all about him, that it would make his reign stronger and it would make his position higher. Anytime you're doing something that's going to make the focus on you and make you bigger and you better and you higher in other people's eyes, you're probably going down a wasted path. Somebody's probably going to get hurt. Anytime you decide, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to do it because I'm ready to take something, I'm ready to have something for myself, I'm ready to be something, then you've probably taken the wrong path, because there's nothing in the Bible that tells us we're to be about ourselves. He tells us to love the Lord God with all of our heart, and He tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And nowhere down the list does He say, but make sure you take care of yourself and make sure you make yourself first. So the law dictated that a king's decree could never be revoked, not even by the king himself. In verse 8 it says, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign it in writing, that it be not changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree." Now this law of Medes was something that the king, he could make the law, and it was a traditional thing. It was kind of like in their culture and in their, through the generations, that when he made this law under that decree, it couldn't be undone, not even by himself. So it's kind of goofy that you would have the power to make a law that you couldn't undo. But that's what this situation was. And they knew that they had trapped King Darius into this. And he did it out of pride. He said, "Focus on me for the next 30 days. He wanted to build his kingdom up. In verse 10 it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into the house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and he as he did aforetime." Daniel said, "I'm not changing. I'm not closing my blinds. I'm not closing my windows. I'm going to do what I've always done, and I'm going to be consistent with God." Daniel cared more for his commitment to God than his position with men. He had a very high position with men. He had a lot to lose. You know, sometimes we can be trusted with the little things, and if God can't trust us with the little things, He can't trust us with the big things. And we get tested on the little things all the time. Just last night I was booking us a hotel room for vacation in July. And the way the booking worked, Riley just turned 11 back in February, and it's the first vacation we've taken since then. And when you put into the screen that you've got a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old, now that 11-year-old counts as an extra person. And along with that, I just learned, comes an extra fee. So it was a $90 fee. I don't agree with the fee. I don't like the fee. I think the fee is ridiculous. I don't understand the fee. I don't know what a few months difference makes. We're still going to use the same number of beds, same air condition, same room. We're not getting the continental breakfast. There's no reason in the world for them to charge me extra because another person just turned a year older. So I clicked. I don't have any kids coming with me. I did. I went all the way up to entering my credit card information. And God started churning in my stomach. I'd already entered in all the numbers, the expiration date and everything. All I had to do was press it. It was a victimless crime, y'all. Victimless crime. But I'm not selling my integrity for $90. I backed all the way out of that, went in, put in the kids, did the right thing. Now, I might do the next one wrong. I might miss it next time. I'm not claiming I'm some saint, okay? But those are the places where God decides whether we can be trusted with the big things. It's right there. It's right there when nobody's looking, nobody's going to get hurt, and it's just a question of integrity. We decide then whether we can be trusted with the bigger things. And God decides then. You got to be of one voice. You got to be of one mind. You got to be consistent. And God can trust you in those hard times. Because believe me, when there's a lot at stake, not just $90, believe me, $90 means something to me. But it doesn't mean like what it used to, because I was looking at something on our kids the other day. We've got a little thing about what was happening when you were born. When Riley was born, gas was $1.29 a gallon. When Jenna was born, 2 years later, it was $1.79 a gallon. And now we love it if it's under $4. So $90 isn't what it used to be, okay? But those moments of integrity, we have to figure out. So in verse 11, it says, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, The thing is true according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. This law could not be changed." There's a lot of laws that can't be changed. You know what? There's physical laws that can't be changed. The laws of gravity can't be changed. The laws of physics can't be changed. The laws of God cannot be changed. There's one law of God that most of the world does not understand that cannot be changed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The whole world is working around to find a higher place, a higher state, a higher euphoria, a higher state of being. They want to go into the afterlife if there is an afterlife, and they want to be in this perfect place with all this goodness. But the law says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And Jesus is the door, and we have to pass through that door if we're going to get to heaven. Verse 13, it says, "Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the of captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee." Oh, now Daniel doesn't regard you, king. Really, Daniel was making a vote for God. He wasn't making a vote against the king. But they twisted it. They twisted it and said, "Daniel regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree." He doesn't even care about your laws that thou hast signed, "but maketh his petition three times a day." He's flaunting it in your face, king. "Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him." The king couldn't overcome the law because the law was the law of Medes and the Persians, and it said that he couldn't undo it. So the king had created a mess because of his pride that he couldn't undo. Has anybody in here ever been there? Have you ever let your pride put you in a place that you just couldn't back out of? Now you just got to deal with the consequences. I've been there. And pride will always get you there. Pride goeth before what? Destruction. Well, it's just amazing what all's in this book, isn't it? It all kind of comes together. I've never seen an equation that always equals out the way this one does. You know, you can't find any conflicts in this book. You know, people may think they've raised up a conflict, but that just means they don't understand what they've read. Because when you really understand the physics and the way this whole thing works out together, and it's amazing because there were so many different writers over hundreds of years. How did it all piece together this way? Because truly there was one writer, and there was one pen, and there was one hand that put it down. And we can trust that, because otherwise there would be conflicts. There would be things we couldn't reconcile. There are other things we don't understand, but in the grand scheme of things, you can reconcile all this, verse against verse. In verse 15 it says, "Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and the signet of his lords, that purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel." And one writer said that Daniel was bound by the law. That was the decree. He was bound by the physical. That was the stone. And the signet was protection that no one else could save him without being executed. You can't get any more sealed. Your fate can't get any more sealed than that. The law has answered you, has weighed you and measured you guilty. The physical, the stone, heavier than any man can move. And the signet, you're sealed. So he had a hopeless situation. This is where, and this is when, only God can speak up and save that situation. In verse 18 it says, "Then the king went to his palace, and he passed the night fasting. Neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. The king arose early, and he went in to hasten to the lion's den. And when he came to the lion's den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Now, anytime you ask that question, is God able? The answer is always going to be yes. In verse 21, "Then said Daniel, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and he hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt." Daniel was surrounded by lions, and he was yelling out to the king. That's confidence in God right there. God can give us total peace in the storm. "Then was the king exceedingly glad, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the lions, out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." As we go through our path in life, just as Joseph went from the pit to a servant, to the prison, to a prince, Daniel went from a president to a pit, back to president. Just as we make it through our lives, as we travel and make our decisions, our consistency with God will pay off. It'll pay off in our family lives. It'll pay off in our church lives. It'll pay off in our work lives. It'll pay off in our personal well-being about ourselves. Just stick with God. It says, "Then King Darius wrote..." Wait, hang on. I missed a verse. In verse 24, "And the king commanded and brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they were cast, and he cast them into the lion's den. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions had a mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den." So, these men's families hadn't done anything, yet they took the same punishment. People pay when you sin. Other people pay when you sin. You drag your family down with you. And I got to tell you, I've been in situations where I've had people murmuring in the background about me, and it got back around to me. And I didn't step up to that murmuring. And I didn't meet it with more murmuring from myself. And I've let time pass. And I've watched what God does. And God handles that business. You always keep yourself clean. You always keep yourself in the right path. And I know none of us are perfect. Neither am I. But if you will stick to the ways of God, it'll all come back around. It all washes out in the end. And a lot of times those things are tests. And if you have opportunity to get those people back in the background, you step away from that opportunity. Because God can handle it a lot better than you can. Somebody told me one time as I was marching off to go tackle one of the leaders that was messing with me. I was marching off to go chew him out for what I was doing. One of the guys stopped me, grabbed me by the arm, and he said, "Listen, if you go wrestle with a pig, you're just going to get mud on yourself, and he's just going to enjoy it." So he's exactly where he wants to be, wallowing in the mud, and you got no business getting that mud on yourself because you're not a pig. So step away from that situation. Don't get in the mud with them because they're just going to enjoy it, and you're going to end up dirty. And you don't belong dirty. It's not your business to be dirty as a Christian. So Spurgeon once said, "Be great believers. Little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven down to your soul." One final comment. It's a little story, I guess. A grandfather was walking with his grandson one day. "How far do you think we are from home?" he asked his grandson. The boy said, "Grandpa, I don't know." The grandfather said, "Well, where are you again?" Again, the boy said, "I don't know." Then the grandfather chuckled and said, "Sounds to me like you're lost, boy." The young boy looked up at his grandfather and said, "I can't be lost. I'm with you." If you're feeling lost in your life, You can't be lost if you're with God. You can't be if you've got Him by the hand. Because even though you may not know where you are, you may not know where you're going, you may not know how to get out of the situation you're in, you may not know what you're going to be, what you're going to see over the next hill, you may not know what's next. If you're with God and you're trusting God, you'll end up where you're supposed to be. Thank you for your attention this morning.